Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations, my friends. I'm your host, Linda Joy, Mindset Mojo Mentor, Intentional Living Guide, and publisher of Aspire Magazine. The reason I was getting so excited, because that's what we're going to be talking about today, midlife. So you know that through this station, all of my brands, I am so passionate about bringing you the wisdom of women who have walked the path, right? Who walked the journey, and women who, through their own dark night of the soul, have found their purpose or have found their voice in inspiring other women on their journey. And my special guest today is all about that. Because as my friends here may know, midlife is such a powerful period of transformation. One that's also could be full of challenges, whether it's caring for others and navigating menopause to finding work-life balance. Dr. Ellen Albertson will be joining me today and will be sharing physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual tools and techniques so you can love yourself, rock your midlife, and make your next chapter your best chapter. Dr. Ellen is a psychologist, registered dietitian, well-being coach, podcaster, Reiki master, and mindful self-compassion teacher. Known as the Midlife Whisperer, she helps women have the energy, confidence, and clarity they need to make their next chapter their best. Her latest book, Rock Your Midlife, 7 Steps to Transform Yourself and Make Your Next Chapter Your Best Chapter. A best-selling, award-winning author, inspirational speaker, and expert on women's well-being, Dr. Ellen has appeared on Extra, Food Network, and NBC World News, and has been quoted in Psychology Today, Forbes, Eating Well, and USA Today. And I have to say, I am so excited. She's actually the cover model and cover feature for the October-November issue of Aspire Magazine. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you, Linda. What a beautiful introduction. I am so excited to have this conversation with you and to inspire other women to rock their midlife.
Well, you know, from our personal conversations, because Ellen and I connected, and it was like, oh my God, kindred spirits. And we've had some great conversations, and I'm like, I have to have you on the show because, as you know, Ellen, I'll be 60 in just a few weeks from this taping. And you know, you see all these memes out there like, oh my God, when you hit 50, it's like life is over, right? And I'm like, I feel emotionally and spiritually stronger than I ever have in my life. So let's talk about that. What led you to write a book called Rock Your Midlife?
Well, exactly because of what you have noticed. You know, there is this idea out there that everything's downhill after 50, and you know your best years are behind you. When you Google midlife, it's conjoined with crisis, put it in the thesaurus, and what comes up is the wrong side of 40. And I really wanted to flip the conversation because, like you, you know, I've been through hell and back, right? We've had our health crisis. I've personally been divorced. I went blind. I got cancer. I think I've moved like 4 or 5 times in the last 4 or 5 years. It's been a lot of shaking up, but like you, I am so happy and I feel so spiritually strong. I have so much clarity. So what's so incredible is when you take a look at the stereotype of, you know, everything's downhill and your body's falling apart and, you know, you have more depression, and you look at the reality, which is life gets better You know, after our 40s, there's actually a U-shaped happiness curve where people actually reach their peak and feel their best in their 60s and 70s and beyond. And I really want to shed light on this conversation. I really wanted to bring in this idea of pro-aging. Aging is a gift. How many of us have seen our sisters pass, right? And if you are listening and you're alive and you're breathing, you've got the rest of your life in front of you. So I just, I'm here to inspire women at midlife and beyond to be healthy, happy, joyful, and give them the specific tools to do that, which is why I wrote the book, Rock Your Midlife. And also I wanted to share my own personal experience and my 30 years of wisdom that I have gotten from coaching hundreds, if not thousands of midlife women.
Oh my God, this is one of the things I love about my show for the last 7 years is hearing how a woman's personal journey led her to the work that she's doing in the world. So you've been a psychologist, a registered dietitian, a well-being coach. What first got you on that path way back then 30 years ago? Was it an inner calling or did everything just so unfold organically?
Yeah, it was a couple of things. It was really a deep desire to help people. And the reason I first went into nutrition, ironically, was because I had eating disorders and I really struggled with eating and wanting to be thinner and body image and all of these things that really can dim our light and keep us from our calling. So I thought, I'll just study nutrition. And as I was studying nutrition, I realized all the people coming to me, I could tell them what to eat and what not to eat, but I didn't have the coaching and the psychological skills to really help them make behavior change and also do the type of deep soul searching that's really necessary when you're taking a look at things like emotional eating or anything that you're doing that's dysfunctional. And so it really led me on this path of, you know, increased personal awareness and incredible amounts of studying, going from being a dietitian to becoming a personal fitness trainer, a health and wellness coach, and then going on to become a psychologist and also a mindful self-compassion teacher. And so, yeah, it was a calling to really help people. The way that I help people and the information and tools that I've gathered over the last three decades have really changed. But what hasn't changed is that the people who come to me for help have always been midlife women. Even when I was in my 30s and starting my career as an outpatient dietitian, everybody coming to me were midlife women. So I've always been fascinated by this time of life, and going through it myself now, I really understand how challenging it can be, but also how it can be this incredible time of transformation.
Oh, I love this. You mentioned self-compassion. So what is self-compassion and how can you practice it to transform you and your life? Because I think some of our listeners may not understand what it is and how they can bring it into their life.
Yes, that's such an awesome question. It is so life-changing to learn self-compassion. And what self-compassion essentially is learning and treating yourself the way that you would a good friend. You know, so often we go through all kinds of difficulties and we think like, if I had a friend who was going through this thing that I am going through, how would I treat her? And then we think about, how do I treat myself when, you know, I have a health difficulty, when I'm maybe in a fender bender or going through a career relationship issue? How do I talk to myself? What tone of voice do I use? And then how do I treat a friend going through the same thing? And the really incredible thing is, when we take a look at this, 99% of us are being super harsh and critical of ourselves and would never talk to our friends the way we talk to ourselves. So self-compassion has three elements. It's really about being kind to yourself rather than critical and judgmental. It's about understanding this idea of common humanity, that everybody goes through stuff. We all, you know, have struggles and stressors. We are imperfect beings. And when you realize this, when you're going through it, you're like, oh, I don't feel so alone. This is normal. And this is how I can grow as a human and as a soul. And then also mindfulness. When something difficult happens to you, again, this idea of compassion is to suffer with and have this desire to alleviate suffering. So let's say, you know, you get a difficult health diagnosis, or you're struggling with your spouse or with a child or parent. Rather than just going right into fix it mode or beating yourself up because things aren't going right or you made a mistake, you pause. You ask, what do I need right now? And then you give yourself what you need. So it's a super powerful technique that is life changing. And it's really the second step of my 7-step system in my book, Rock Your Midlife.
Well, it's a perfect segue. Why don't we, before our first break, let me see, we have a few minutes before we take our break. So I'd love for you to just give us a quick synopsis of the 7 steps. And then when we come back from our break, we can dive into them even deeper.
Sure. Well, the first step is to know yourself, to really be authentic. The second step I just touched on, and that really is love yourself, moving from self-loathing to self-love. The third step is energize yourself. And this is all about all the things you can do to take care of your midlife body. The fourth step is to reprogram your brain. There's something called neuroplasticity. You can actually change your mental state, change your mindset. The fifth step is to empower yourself, to find that power from within. The sixth step is to rehab your relationships, because when you start becoming that butterfly and you transform and change, not everybody in your life sees the transformation. They still think you're a caterpillar. And the seventh step is to enlighten yourself, to make that spiritual connection and understand that you truly are a soul having a human experience.
I can't wait to dive into this. Just even hearing them, I'm writing them all down as you're speaking. Just hearing them, you can almost feel the journey unfolding. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. You can learn more about Dr. Ellen at themidlifewhisperer.com. We'll be right back, my friends.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm excited today to have Dr. Ellen Albertson with me, the author of Rock Your Midlife. So right before the break, Ellen, you shared the 7 steps to transform yourself that are in your book. And one that so many of them jumped out at me, but there was one, two, is about, I think it was enlighten, which was about the spiritual connection. So for myself, that was a major part of my healing, right? In when I hit my midlife. What was your story in it? And was there a story of you coming out of the spiritual closet?
Yes. I have come in and out of the spiritual closet so many times in my life. And I think like you, I'm hitting 60 this year too. And, you know, we're going through our second Saturn return, which is a time like Saturn is the planet of like, get real. This is the time to really wake up, do what you're here to do, be yourself. And so I feel like I'm finally out of the spiritual closet. You know, I had my first, fairly recent midlife incident when I decided to start teaching Reiki. I had been, you know, enjoying Reiki for literally decades. I learned Reiki in 1993, but I felt this calling to finally start to teach and get out of the spiritual closet and show myself, you know, as a healer. And I was terrified. Like I thought that nobody's going to sign up for my class. And with Reiki, you do these attunements to transmit kind of this ability to open up your chakras and be able to do Reiki. And I was terrified nobody would like get the attunements. I wouldn't do it correctly. Nobody would sign up. And the interesting thing is that three miracles happened. The first was that the class sold out and there was a waiting list. I had 18 people in the class. The second was during the time when I was doing the attunements, one of the students had this deep cut in his finger and he had a misfortune with a chopping accident. He had cut his finger open and was going to get stitches after class. He had taken the bandage off and his finger was completely healed. And the third miracle was I received an invitation to be featured in a magazine about healing and about Reiki. So it was like, okay, get out of the spiritual closet. But it's been a big part of my journey because I come from a very scientific background. My dad is a PhD physicist. He's a scientist. He's invented a lot of very important medical instrumentation. And so I was always like many of us, wanting to please my parents, wanting to be the good girl. And, you know, in my family, woo was not okay. Because woo, by definition, while we feel it, we believe it, we see it, there's not that level of scientific proof. And so that is the reason that I sort of like would, you know, step a foot out, step a foot in, kind of like doing the spiritual hokey pokey. And I think my, you know, two health crises, both I had an incident a couple of years ago where my retina detached three times and I literally went blind in my good eye and I was in danger of not getting my eyesight back. And it really built my faith over fear, muscle, and understanding the power of spirit. And then more recently, in April of 2022, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I really had to step into more of the divine feminine, step more into my spirituality again, relying on faith and getting away from some of these masculine workaholic ways that I had grown up in. And I really see myself dealing with a lot of the, you know, ancestral issues that I've inherited around, you know, not being fully out of the closet. A lot of us, I think, have, you know, either present or past lives where we've been persecuted because we've been out of the closet. So there's a lot of us who are kind of a little hesitant, but everyone I work with and talk to who have stepped out of the spiritual closet are like, wow, why did I do this earlier? This is so awesome. And, you know, when we're not receiving persecution, we're receiving, when you allow your light to shine, thank you, you allow me to shine too. So I think we're all connected. And the more we can shine, the more we can change, you know, the consciousness of the planet right now, which is something that we're all called to do.
So powerful. And really, so coming out of the spiritual closet, and that's for anyone that's feeling that, goes back really to step one, which is know yourself and show up authentically. Because if we hide our light because of a fear of judgment and shame from others, then we can't do our work in the world in the way that we're meant to. And have you found that to be true for yourself?
Absolutely. I had a mask on for the longest time. I felt like, and especially with the pressure of social media, and I do a lot, you know, on Instagram and Facebook, that you have to look perfect. And so there is this tendency, and I hear this from influencers all the time, their real lives are very different than what they show on social media. And I have found that the more authentic I can be, the more I can just show up as my true self with all my wrinkles and age spots and gray hair, the more I give other women permission to do the same. So being authentic is really, really important. You can't rock midlife if you are wearing a mask, if you are, you know, engaging in imposter syndrome, because you've got to know yourself and be authentic in order to be on the path that's leading you to your best life, that's leading you to rock midlife. If you're living someone else's life, then you're never going to find that fulfillment that you are craving. So if you're feeling a doubt and you're feeling fear, that's actually a really good thing around your calling. It means that that resistance that you're experiencing, there's this huge opportunity to pull on courage. Which is really following a path of heart, to step into your heart, step into your soul, show your true self, your true identity, to call on spirit for support, whatever that means to you, and just be your beautiful, authentic self.
Oh, it's so true. And one of my core brand values is authenticity, along with like collaboration, service, relationships. And I know you and I just met, but one of the things that I hear all the time from my audience, and I've had these brands for 16 years, so I've been around for a little while with the inspiration brands. And they said, you're the same person you were 16 years ago as you are now. We feel you, Linda. And here's why that's important, Ellen. It's something you just spoke of. When we wear masks, which we all do, right? And social media really likes to hit us with all those triggers. I believe from a spiritual perspective, when the masks are down and we show up in our messy, amazing, authentic self, our aligned audience, clients, peers, friends, they can find us because they can feel our energy without it being behind a wall. And that is the biggest compliment I get. That means a lot to me, more than, you know, hey, you've created all these brands. It's like, Linda, I can feel you. I can connect with you. That's what's missing in the world, right? That's why your message is so important. If you can empower and support women in taking off those masks, like you and I have had to do the work, and we're still doing it, huh, Ellen? It's so important.
Yes, there's a lot of trauma, right? Trauma really is why we put the masks on, you know, and it can be something as much as being a people pleaser, where you're crumbling inside, but outside you've got the smile on your face. And that was my experience. And I actually had someone on my show, Rock Your Midlife, and she was talking about this perfectly hidden depression that a lot of us walk around like everything's great, smiles on our faces, showing ourselves in our, you know, this great light. And inside, that's not where we're at. And you're right. When we show out who we are, we give every other woman permission to do the same. And I think the cool thing that's happening is more and more midlife women like yourself are showing up. This is who I am. This is my real age. Things are starting to shift. I think we're starting to make aging cool and something to look forward to. I am totally jazzed about the next, you know, 20, 30, 40 decades ahead. And the media and also marketers are catching up and realizing that as midlife women, we don't want some 20-something to be selling us, you know, skin and hair products. Maybe we don't even want anti-aging stuff anymore. We want things that, yes, enhance our personal beauty, make us feel good, are good for us. But this idea that there's something wrong with me because of who I am, it's time to get that off our plates and be our authentic selves.
Oh, so true, so true. And as you know, you wrote the foreword for my company's upcoming book called Reclaiming Your Midlife Mojo. And I was so grateful to have your wisdom in that book. And I know when it's released in November, just the wisdom and insights that you shared in the foreword, along with all my author's stories, I created and birthed that project for this reason, this conversation. I want women to see that they are amazing and valuable as they are, right? And I wanted to give them sacred reminders. And on your show, I want to mention your show too. So Ellen's the host of Rock Your Midlife radio show podcast. You can find it across all platforms. You can visit her at themidlifewhisperer.com. And from there, you'll see a nav button for the radio show. Tune in. She has extraordinary guests. And guess what? I am excited. I'll be coming up on her show by the end of 2022. So be sure to tap in. Get some more of Ellen's wisdom. So Ellen, you mentioned something a moment ago that I'm curious about. It was related to astrology. So this Saturn return, I'm like, what is she talking about? I've heard about it, but I don't know enough about it. So before we go to our next break, is it based on the age you are or the month you're born? What is it?
Well, Saturn takes approximately 28, 29 years to go around the sun. So it's really based on the placement of Saturn when you are born. So you and I have Saturn in Aquarius. So right now, Saturn's in Aquarius. So we are facing what's called our Saturn return. We face our first Saturn return when we are like 28, 29, and that's a real time of change. I know for me, that was the time that I was really at this place of got to meet the right man, got to get married, got to have kids, got to get the house, you know, do all of these kind of worldly things were calling me. And that's kind of how I got a little off course. And now that I'm facing the second Saturn return, I feel like my breast cancer diagnosis kind of got me even more on track. So it happens, to answer your question, every 28 and a half or so years. And we, you know, face two, if not three in our lifetime.
Okay, I'm gonna do a little deep dive into that because I love that stuff. So we're gonna take a second break and we will be back in a moment. I'm with Dr. Ellen Albertson of themidlifewhisperer.com. Be sure to visit and of course, check out her new book, Rock Your Midlife, 7 Steps to Transform Yourself and Make Your Next Chapter Your Best Chapter. We'll be back in a moment.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you feeling called to clear your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual blockages? That's your soul and environment speaking to you and asking you to uncover all the clutter that is preventing you from living the life you envision. Felicia Messina DeHaiti, soul coaching master practitioner and trainer and teacher of advanced interior alignment and medicine wheel feng shui, supports her international clientele by creating inner and outer transformation in their environments and their lives by combining elements from her extensive training, experience, and intuition. Felicia is a master intuitive coach certified by Colette Baron Reed and has served as a master mentor for Denise Lin's Elemental Space Clearing certification course, as well as her Ultimate Clutter Clearing. Explore her offerings, including certification courses in feng shui, space clearing, soul coaching, and Reiki at FeliciaDeHaiti.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Thanks for joining me today. I'm super excited about this conversation about rocking your midlife journey because there is such a shift in how midlife is projected now. Remember before it's like, oh, you're washed up. Now more and more because of the feminine is rising, we are looking at women like us at our age and beyond and and honoring the wisdom they have. And I love seeing that shift. I see it so much because I have a big spiritual community. Now, you mentioned a little while ago about the media. They're always going to do what they're going to do, aren't they? They're always going to be about anti-aging, like aging is bad. To me, aging is beautiful. If we're here for another day, that's a gift. So talk about, have you seen it in your communities where women are saying, I am so done with those media stories?
Absolutely. And in fact, I was just in New York City on a panel on pro-aging that was sponsored by Great Lakes Wellness. And, you know, the whole point was to let's give aging the bird, not so much, you know, the finger, but really this idea of taking a bird's eye view on aging and looking at truly that the best age you are at is now. And regardless of your age, you have the rest of your life, you know, in front of you. And I think there's a lot of reasons why we, you know, have this anti-aging idea. I mean, I think the primary reason is kind of this fear of death. You know, I do hospice work and we need to really embrace that. Yeah, it's out there. And I know that my cancer diagnosis was like death in my face of realizing, you know, when I walk by a graveyard, when I do hospice work, realizing how little time we have, and then using that as a catalyst to make the most of your life and embrace who you are right now and not say, oh my gosh, I wish I was 26 again, or I want to look like I did when I was 26, and focusing on the old you, focus on the present and future you. But I think it's also so important too, as midlife women and beyond, that we're sharing our wisdom, that we're not getting put out of the, you know, the equation, the connection, because youth needs us right now. The planet needs us. We are wise. And when I see people who are life coaches like us, who are in their like 20s, I'm like, sister, you haven't lived enough yet to really be an effective coach. You have to go through things to earn your wisdom. And something I found, you know, going through midlife and menopause, your wisdom is really honed. Your love is really honed. Like, I have such a deeper understanding of so many things, including love, at midlife. So I think that this whole anti-aging thing is totally BS. First of all, you can't anti-age. We're all aging. Babies are aging. You know, from the moment you are born or even conceive, you're aging. Each one of us is going to be one day older tomorrow. So taking that off your plate, taking this pressure to have to look a certain way and maintain the way that you were in your 20s. Personally, I don't want to go back to my 20s, 30s, or 40s. I'm feeling like you, I'm enjoying my life to the fullest right now. So it's important to put ourselves out there, to be proud of ourselves, whatever age we are at, and also just to incorporate all types of relationships with various people of different ages. I think that really helps to change the way we're viewing aging, and also changing ageism, where people are, there's a level of prejudice around people who are older. And I think that's something that each of us can work on individually and collectively.
Oh, so powerful. And something you said too is your breast cancer diagnosis made you face that, you know, and working with hospice and all of that. So let's talk about that, because I've been spiritually guiding two friends. One has breast cancer. She just had finished up chemo. She has her reconstruction next month, and I'm spiritually guiding my own cousin through lung cancer. So what were some of the lessons and silver linings you received from your breast cancer diagnosis? And for those listening, you may say, Linda, what a strange question. How would she find any silver linings with such a diagnosis? Well, you all know what I've gone through in the last 2 years, unless you're new to my audience, and what Dana's gone through. There's silver linings in everything. It depends what you focus on, my friends. And that's why I asked the question, because I would love to hear what silver linings came through your diagnosis so far, Ellen. I'm sure many more will come.
Yeah, I would say I am happier, more joyful than I have ever been, and more grateful, because I think, unlike your cousin and friend, my breast cancer was caught really, really early. It was the size of a dime. my surgeon popped it right out. I'm in remission and I'm going to be fine. And the other silver linings are, I discovered that I have a BRCA mutation. And so there's other things that I can do to stay in remission. So with the BRCA mutation, I have a greater chance, for example, of having ovarian cancer. So I can get my ovaries out. I'm postmenopausal. I've taken some other made some other lifestyle change. My lifestyle was very, very good, but there were things that I could do. But I think the number one thing that I did because of the diagnosis, and I think it's similar to your story, because I want to stay in remission. I've got an amazing fiance, an amazing life. I want to live to 100 and be healthy at 100. I clobbered my workaholic. All right. I healed my workaholic. I come from a long line of workaholics. My grandparents, my parents, everybody was a workaholic, and they would work themselves to a point of exhaustion and even illness. And I really believe that my workaholic, as well as a lot of self-loathing that I had towards myself prior to discovering self-compassion, really partially caused my breast cancer. So I actually had to work with a friend of ours, Angel Hartwell, and she really helped me to deal with the workaholism. It was super hard for me to do nothing, to take a sabbatical, to take time off, to not be so incredibly, literally addicted to the next launch, the next book, the next radio show, you know, the next summit, the next course, the next whatever. And also, you know, the number of fans, the number of followers, the number of clients, all of these very numerical metrics, just letting that stuff go and realizing that the most important thing from moment to moment for me is feeling good. And I feel friggin' fantastic because of some of the changes. I gave up grains. I was pretty good on sugar, alcohol. I eat tons of grains. My supplementation's really, really good. But giving up grains, really working on my sleep hygiene, my stress. If I start to notice inflammation, like I was thinking about doing a book project. We talked about this off the air, and I had to really consult my intuition. My intuition's gotten a lot stronger too. And my intuition was like, no, don't do this. This is not the time to write this book about cancer. And you don't even know if you want to write a book about cancer, but I put it on my plate from that ego place was pushing me. Thank God I took it off, because I think it would have really made me sick again. So understanding what I need to do to feel good. And of course, you know, Abraham Hicks talks all about this, about the most important thing, if you want to manifest and have an amazing midlife, you've got to focus on feeling good and doing more of those things that light you up and feed your soul and that connect you with that divine feminine. And not that you don't use the divine masculine. We all have that. We need, you know, some stress to get us going. We need our egos to put ourselves out there. But if that's driving you, it can drive you into a place of disease, which is what happened to me.
Yeah. And I think so many women listening are going to relate, because I was that person, and I started to heal my, I call it the inner doer, where everything I did was based on a core wound inside me that thought, well, the more I perform, the more awards I get, the more blah, 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 you know the story.
Yep.
That I won't feel this empty inside. And finally, after a stroke at 40, because I was a high achiever even with my other business, and yeah, so I won all these awards at what cost? And so 20 years ago really accelerated my journey of going, where is this coming from? And now it's this, after 20 years of deep work, is this flip of who I am is enough. And when I show up in service and love in my business and in my brands and in my relationships, the universe will mirror that back. And that's when more love comes, more abundance comes. And I know that doesn't sound like a business model, but it's the one I've been using for years. It's the feminine of who I am is enough. I do not have to be doing, doing, doing. You and I know from previous, you know, from previous personal conversation, I take 14 weeks off a year, just started taking the summers off. This summer spent in recovery, but thankfully I had that time set aside. And we are closed every Friday. And when I say we, I give that to my team, because if you're going to be a leader, how can you expect your team to work if you don't want to work, right? But that was a big journey back to myself, Ellen. Right. And so for you, I was identifying when you said, what you said, clobbered, and you caught yourself really quick. I caught that too.
Yeah. It's kind of like we're on this hamster wheel and we live in this hustle culture that rewards that, but at what cost? And it certainly doesn't make us happy or joyful. It's like, well, you may get that book contract or you may that land that whatever, but you have to keep having all of those things have to happen. So your happiness is contingent on something happening and you have to keep pushing to make more and more things happen. Conversely, you can just sink into peace and joy and connection. And the irony of it is that when you do that, you manifest like crazy. I mean, I feel like I manifested you, right? You just saw my post on Facebook and you're like, oh, I want to connect with her. And I put that out there and that energy out there, but I've been manifesting so much more and so many incredible opportunities when I step into authenticity, when I connect with gratitude, with joy, with self-compassion, all of these positive states. And life is so much easier and more fun.
Yeah. And what I've discovered, like a lot of people will call me Joy instead of Linda, and I accept that. It took me years to own this name. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So a lot of people ask, is that your given name? And I said, well, yeah, it was my middle name at birth. That's on my birth certificate. And of course, then I had my father's name. And when I went through a divorce, God, I think I was around 30. I went through a divorce and at the same time was in massage school. So I had just closed my business, Ellen, was in massage school. I remember the school saying, hey, you're going to graduate. We're going to put your name on the certificate. And I'm like, oh, I don't want his name on there. This is a new chapter. But I was still married, right? I mean, you know, still had his name. And I said, no. So I went to court and I changed my name. And I remember going in front of the judge. And I believe this is when I first started claiming myself, Ellen. So I'd love to hear your thoughts, especially as a psychologist. I went in and had an old patriarchal judge. He says, okay, so you're going to go back to your maiden name. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to be just Linda Joy. That's my birth name on my birth certificate. He says, well, that's not how we do it. If you're ending your husband's name, you're going to go for your father's. And I said, no, I'm not. And legally, I can be anything. I can be Rainbow White Feather as long as I don't use it for fraudulent purposes. So I had to fight him and I got it. But it wasn't until probably 5 years later that I embodied my name, the energy of my name. But I believe that's the day I reclaimed myself. As a person, as a woman, as I don't know, as an essence. Have you ever had an experience of a client that went through a process similar to that? We have about 60 seconds, then we'll take our final break. But I'm curious, have you had someone that went through a reclaiming ceremony, whether they knew it was that or not?
I can't recall that I have had someone. I've certainly had people make major, major transformations. And I just love that story because it so embodies this idea of empowerment and about, you know, your move towards embodying more of that divine feminism and authenticity and also rejecting some of the patriarchal things and standing up to that judge. Really powerful story.
Yeah, but you know what's funny, Ellen? Back then, I didn't even know what the feminine was. I would still... Like, so my soul knew where I was being led before the rest of me caught up. Does that make sense?
Yes. You know what I see a lot of people doing, we can talk about this after the break, is really rejecting the relationship that they have, the dysfunctional relationship that they have with food that has kind of been their defining MO for decades. And finding a new way of being, which ironically actually changes the relationship with food and makes it very healthy and actually ends up helping them lose weight.
That's powerful. Let's talk about that in the last segment. We'll be back in a moment. I'm with Dr. Ellen Albertson. You can learn more at themidlifewhisperer.com.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Mission-driven business owners, are you feeling energetically drained? It's time to shift that so you can lead at your highest level. Lee Murphy Wolf, creator of the Calibrate Method, has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs create sustainable success. She teaches her clients how to unwind the energetic patterns that affect their flow, tap into their feminine leader energy, and build energetic resilience so they are aligned for the next level of business growth. Lee's unique programs combine the healing frequencies of tuning forks, energy management techniques, and simple business design principles to help you reduce overwhelm, restore vitality, and realign with more ease. Lee offers free energy clearings and tunings twice a week in her free Facebook community, The Balanced Business. Learn more about Lee and her services at leemurphywolf.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm so glad you circled up with myself and my special guest, Dr. Ellen Albertson. So in our last segment, Ellen, you just brought up food and, you know, I had eating disorders when I was young. Food plays such a major trigger in women's lives. So if someone knows they have some kind of trigger around food, what's the first step you would recommend?
Besides calling me, because this is something make sure, get some help. You're not alone, but don't focus on the food. The big mistake that women make is that they think, okay, I have a food problem, so I'll go on a diet. And dieting exasperates the problem. When we diet, we get hungry, and then we dive into this binge purge symptom where we're the cycle where we are dieting and depriving ourselves of food and beating ourselves up, and then we get overwhelmed with hunger, or we have an emotional issue and we turn back to food. What needs to happen is emotional healing and finding ways besides food to comfort and soothe yourself, and also creating a life that has purpose and meaning. I'll tell you the story of one client. You know, this happens all the time. So many of my clients come to me initially because they are out of control around eating. They just cannot stop that Chardonnay and cheddar habit, or the threesome with Ben and Jerry's, or the Lay's potato chips under the cover while they watch Netflix. They cannot stop themselves. They're addicted to it, no matter how much they diet, how much they try. And what we do is we don't focus on the food. We focus on the emotional triggers behind the food. I teach them self-compassion, which we've talked about earlier, about learning to love yourself. Self-compassion is an emotional regulatory technique where when you experience fear, sadness, grief, loneliness, boredom, all of these emotions, anger, anxiety that trigger us to eat, you feel the feeling, you name the feeling, you give yourself what you need, and you allow the feeling to be there instead of saying, this is so uncomfortable, I can't deal with this, I've got to have those potato chips, that chocolate, that Chardonnay. And profound change starts to happen when you connect with all your emotions. We're very much taught that it's okay to feel, you know, joy and happiness and gratitude. But those difficult emotions, shame, guilt, sadness, fear, we're taught like just deep six of things, shove them down. And when that happens, what happens is then we feel depressed. And midlife women have the highest rate of depression for any group for their gender and age. And what I do is I give voice to those emotions, give voice to the you know, inner family, those habits that we want to change, and help women create lives that are meaningful, that are filled with a rainbow of different emotions. And the eating issues literally evaporate. And all of a sudden they're like, I'm happy. I'm joyful. I feel like I have passion, purpose, and meaning. I don't feel ashamed. I don't feel guilty anymore. So it's powerful. But if you are dealing with emotional eating, first of all, you are not alone. Most women have some level of, you know, some type of negative body image, perhaps coupled with disordered or an actual eating disorder. It doesn't go away at midlife. And get some help, get some counseling, get some coaching, and learn to embrace all of your emotions.
Such powerful guidance. And I believe just from serving a large community of women, I think you're spot on. Sadly, a lot of women have body image issues. And the funny thing is, I'm sure you've noticed this with clients, others could see them as the perfect specimen of health or, you know, they wouldn't believe that they would have anything to have body image issues about. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with size or anything. I've always been a small person, but have had body image issues. Less now that I've done the work, but when I was young, I was anorexic because I couldn't hit 100 pounds. And believe me, I'm nowhere near 100 pounds now, and I found peace in my body, right? But others would look and go, why would you have any food or self-image issues? And I'm like, that's an internal thing. And I believe it has nothing to do with what we actually physically look like. So I'm curious your insights on that.
I totally agree with you, Linda. And, you know, supermodels have negative body image. Ooh. Some of the most supermodels, ballerinas, these people that we look at and we go, my God, look at you. And in the absolute societal ideal of what you're supposed to be beautiful. And then conversely, I see people who do not emulate the thin, white, youthful ideal, who feel fantastic in their bodies. Body image has nothing to do with your body. It has everything to do with your mind, your heart, your spirit, your relationship with yourself. What's so incredible is that, you know, my research found that practicing self-compassion for as little as an hour a week actually reduced body shame, body dissatisfaction, self-worth based on appearance, and improve body appreciation in as little as 3 weeks. So what I teach people now is, let's start with learning to love yourself. And self-compassion is the how. People are like, oh, how do you love yourself? Well, you treat yourself the way you would a good friend. You give yourself what you need. And in my own situation where I used to be a personal fitness trainer, it was like being an alcoholic in a liquor store. And I was like totally cut up. I was that, you know, woman in front doing, you know, the group exercise leader, right? Lifting up, you know, 220-pound dumbbells as I squatted, cut up, six-pack abs, the whole thing. And I hated my body. I loathed my body. And the same thing with my clients. We were always like, well, when I lose the weight, when I have the six packs, when I have the, you know, the buns of steel and the, you know, the guns, then I'll feel good about myself. But like we were saying before, you're always chasing this idealized self that doesn't really exist. You have to start feeling good about yourself right now. You feel good about yourself when you work on that relationship with yourself, the things like the, you know, the workaholism and the negative body image, all of this dysfunctional things that drive us start to go away, and you step into that authentic self. You get on your path. It's like for so much of our lives, we're crawling up this ladder of success and it's up against the wrong building. Got to figure out, what's my building? What am I here to do? What's that big dream that I have? And that dream that you have doesn't happen in some future time. It happens right now by working on yourself, by connecting with helping others, by loving yourself, by realizing that you are divinely made. Your body is made of over 32 trillion cells that are working together to keep you alive. You know, when I first got diagnosed with cancer, I was taking a yoga class and I had this like aha moment where I was like, you know, my body is working really beautifully. There's just this really small cluster of cells that went rogue, and I've got to heal myself, but I've got to appreciate how beautifully and divinely made my physical self is.
What a beautiful message for all of us, right? For all of us to remember that we were divinely created. So Ellen, I want to invite everyone, before we come to a close out our inspiring conversation today, is I want everyone to visit themidlifewhisper.com First, grab your copy of Rock Your Big Life, 7 Steps to Transform Yourself and Make Your Next Chapter Your Best Chapter. Be sure to check out her radio show, Rock Your Midlife, and of course, dive into her services and programs. Reach out a hand because she is there to support you. You don't have to struggle through this. Some of my greatest forward movement and course correcting my life was because I accepted help. I reached out to someone who was a little further on the path ahead of me. So thank you, Dr. Ellen, for joining me today. I so appreciate this conversation and our connection.
Thank you, Linda.
Until next time, my friends, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.